Accession number 30624, reel 2. Accession number 30624, reel 2.
Accession number 30624, Mr. Murray Pevan, reel 2. Now, the next thing is, you're called up in September, late September 42, to go to the aircrew reception centre at, Lord's, at St. John's Wood, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Could you tell us what happened when you arrived there? Because
I went from home, from Letchworth, because I wanted to say bye-bye to my parents. And I was dressed neatly for the occasion in my new Macintosh. I'll never forget. It was a khaki, very light-coloured Macintosh. My mother gave me some sandwiches. And I turned up late in the afternoon at Lord's and walked in. And there were these horrible sergeants yelling and corporals yelling and screaming at blokes like me. And everybody was looking sad and being told to do this and do that. I turned on my back and walked out. And there was a Joe Lyons across the road, and I walked in there and ordered a cup of tea and a buttered scone, I think, or roll. And I sat there and thought, do I desert? Or do I go back and face the music? So I decided not to desert, so I went back and faced the music. And, hey, you know, who are you? You know, and I stood there trembling, and gave my details to some called stand over there, sort of thing. And it was organized chaos. And eventually we were sorted into little groups and smaller groups, and somebody was put in charge of us with a label. And then we were all marched off for the night to a series of blocks of flats that border the north side of Regent's Park. I think it's Avenue Road. And I think the block was Avenue Close. And it had all been taken over by the Air Force. And these were really luxurious flats. And eventually I was allocated to one of the flats.
Now, what were these flats like? Because were they stripped out?
They were being stripped out, and they just had ordinary Air Force-type metal beds. And I think we were given some blankets and stuff, and somebody came in and showed us how to make a bed. And it was the first thing they showed us in the Air Force. And that was how to make a bed. And this was the most important thing in life. The beds had to be made mathematically exactly as you instructed. And then I was told...
Was there anything special about it, or was it just very neat?
Yes, it was very, very neat. It looked like one of these cakes, you know, with different layers on the side. Absolutely geometrically accurate. And... we had no Air Force kit by then, but we just had, the first day we had this, and I'll never forget, I was then told to go and clean the toilet out. So my first job was very demeaning. It befitted my qualifications. It was to go and wash the toilet. The problem was that there was a stream of other characters who'd come from all over England, where obviously none of them had ever seen a toilet before, who insisted on emptying their bladders all over the floor. So, as I washed, they did everything except use the toilet as it was supposed to be used. And in the end, I sort of started crying. I thought, what am I doing here? What's happening to me? How low can life get? And the next day, they marched us off for kitting. And we marched off to a garage, which they'd taken over, and turned into a stores. And some of the items they had and some of the items they didn't have. For example, they had boots. And you got a pair of boots thrown at you where the two boots were held together by the laces tied together. And you're given a bag and a hat which you had to wear. And other items. So you didn't have a whole uniform, but you just had bits and pieces of whatever they had in stock. And then we were marched out of there and the rain started to pour. And these boots were over my shoulder. And all the stain and the dye was coming off them and going down my brand new Mac. And I got back and I looked at this Mac, stained with black boot polish or dye. And I thought, it's getting worse and worse. Anyway, eventually they tell us that they gave us a full uniform. And we had to pack up all our civilian stuff into a bundle, and they were responsible for posting it home. And then we were started drilling outside in the road. And one of the drills was marching up and down the little crossroads outside the back of these flats. And one, I think the second or third day, the sergeant, or corporal, whoever it was marching us this way and that way. They told us to halt. And a great big railway lorry of those days came hurtling around the corner, around the middle of the road, and straight at us. And we all standing to attention, and I could see this thing getting closer and closer, and the driver frantically trying to brake, and of course they had no brakes on them in those days. In the end, I said, "Corporal, can we please turn right and march?" And he looked at me as though he was going to kill me. Then he spotted the lorry, and he said, "Scatter." And we all dived each which way, and the lorry carried on exactly where we had been a moment before. And he would, hurt the lot of us. I thought this Air Force thing is getting really interesting. And then another incident happened, one, I think, two or three nights later. We weren't allowed out, and then came the time when we were allowed. Some of the others were given their first evening out pass. You had to be back by 10:30. And of course all our kit was on our beds when we were out drilling or whatever we were doing. And I came back and found my gas mask was missing. And I reported it. And of course it was all my fault. And I excused myself by saying I'd put mine on my bed just like everybody else. And since I wasn't there, I was out on parade, there wasn't much I could do about it. Anyway, they gave me a chit to draw another one. And then about 2 days later, the military police came and arrested me. And they wouldn't tell me what it was for, and I was whisked away somewhere and interviewed where I'd been on a certain night. And I was told I was out for murder. What have I done? And apparently, what had happened was that in London, of course, at that time, there were forces from all over the world, Australians, New Zealanders, South Africans, Czechs, Poles, you name it, Belgians, French, no Americans yet. And of course the West End, the prostitutes, the place was the best business in town. And apparently one of these prostitutes had been murdered. And apparently at the scene my gas mask had been found, and they traced it back to me, because we all had to put a number on everything. Luckily I had an alibi. I was cleaning toilets. Eventually the story came out. There was an Australian whose brother had joined the British Air Force about a year or so before, and he contracted a ghastly disease, which they now these days called STI, but in those days it went by the grand old name of VD. And he had a grudge against London's prostitutes. And he'd worked himself up to the extent that he'd joined the Air Force with the intent of getting to London so he could go out and murder these girls in retribution for what had happened to his brother. And this, they pick on the Murray Pevin. Me. I didn't even know what it was all about. So after I managed to prove my innocence, I thought, what's going to happen now? And then we were all posted away.
Now, hang on, were you doing anything else while you were there? I mean, any
training?
No,
basically, it was marching about, drilling.
How did you take to drill? Do you understand what I mean? Because you've done a bit of it.
It didn't really bother me. I stand to attention, turn right, turn left, swing your arms.
You didn't have any problems?
I didn't have any problems with the drill, no.
Anything? Any other basic training?
Well, the one thing I learned was to don't argue with the corporal.
Now, how were you getting on with the other lads?
What happened in the end is you form little cliques. You look across the room and there'd be a bloke looking at you, and look at him, and there was a sort of a simpatico between you, and you formed you allied yourself. You had to ally. One of the guys was a Christian guy from Bermondsey, and he and I formed an improbable pairing. I did his paperwork, and he sort of, was my strong arm guy. And we got along fine, and we went right up to, I'll come to this later, to Eaton Park together.
Well, was there any bullying, you know,
amongst
them?
Yeah, what we got was that there were a bunch of Durham miners there. And when they took their shirts off, you could see all the pucking of the coal in their skins. And they hated everybody. And, of course, they just picked up the thing. You were a Jew boy, right. You know, they didn't know what it meant. But the word you're Jew boy, and that was enough. So they'd bully you and start on you. But, of course, the discipline was so rigid there, they couldn't do it as much as they want to. Oh, yes, one other thing. Church parade on the Sunday.
What was that like?
Well, I used to join the back of the line, and as they marched around the corner, I marched straight ahead and disappeared for a couple of hours and then rejoined them afterwards. There were about two or three other Jewish guys, and we all did the same thing. And the corporal knew what we did, and it didn't bother him.
So no other training at all, just drill, really?
I can't honestly remember. But
well, do you remember the pay parade? Because I believe you had to go to the
zoo.
I
don't think we were there long enough for a pay parade.
So it was just very basic.
It was basic indoctrination, getting you in, loads of inoculations.
Sometimes they have a big effect. How were yours?
Well, they didn't have any effect on me at all. They never took. I've never had an inoculation take effect on me. Even the ones in Canada, which were far, far more advanced, that we got later than the English ones. There's not a single mark on me from inoculations.
So, and you weren't ill or woozy
no,
afterwards?
No. I have to tell you, touch wood.
Now, after that, in October, 16th of October, so you were only there about 2 weeks,
go
to 27th Elementary Training Wing at Ludlow.
Yeah.
Just for a month. Now, what happened there? What was the setup there?
First of all, that was just tents in the field. There was no permanent accommodation. It was just tents. Tented accommodation. And
so what was it like? Because it's quite late, October.
I'm going to make the point in a minute. It was hell. Because it was freezing cold. You had no bedding. You just slept in your clothes on your ground sheet, which is on the floor, with your feet to the tent pole. Water used to pour through these things. Two meals a day. And in a tent, which was first in the thing in the morning, you couldn't see what you're eating. You're eating porridge laced with tea leaves, things like that. And the officers used to ride about on a horse because the field was full of shit from cow dung. It was pretty rough.
And so what were you actually doing?
Marching.
More drill.
It was just really a holding camp, a toughening up place to get us really, really, how shall I say, get all the civilian fat off us, get us moulded.
Anything happened there? You weren't there long.
Well, not really. There was a little rebellion by some of the lads, and I distanced myself from it.
What sort of a rebellion?
Well, they just couldn't take the discipline and the harsh conditions and so forth. It was like a prison camp, really.
How did you get on with the instructors? I mean,
there weren't any instructors. I mean, let me give you an example. Your washing facilities were quite simply to go out and to break the ice on the top of the fire buckets and wash and shave in that. So as long as you appeared shaved, you could be stinking to high heaven underneath. You were covered in mud anyway. But your buttons had to shine. That was the sort of weirdness of it all.
So not much happened there. And you're there about a month.
And then we were posted to Torquay, which was bliss.
Now that's number 5, initial training wing.
Yeah.
Now, you say that was bliss. What were you... you weren't in a tent then?
No. Well, what we did, we cleaned ourselves up on the train as best we could. With our handkerchiefs and stuff, and when we got there, the discipline was incredibly tough. It was an OTC basically, and masses of instructors, officer instructors in every different subject. We were stationed at a place called the Toorak Hotel. I still remember it.
What was that like? Tell us about that.
Well, that had all been cleaned out, everything bare, but it was a hotel. It was a resort hotel. that had running water in each room and all that sort of thing. There were four of us to a room. We had to bare bunks, and we had, for example, where the brass handle for the opening window, we had to burnish that with button polish, and the door handles and the fire extinguisher, and we were on parade. But it was a proper military university, for want of a better term.
Now, take us through a typical day. That's one way of spinning things off. So, do you see what I mean? So we can understand.
Yeah, well, you parade in the morning, have breakfast, and you go on parade outside, and you'd be counted up and all the rest of it. Little lecture from the DSIP sergeant, then the discipline officer would come out and tell you what you're going to do that day, and then you'd mark off to different classes.
Now, what classes? Take me through
everything from navigation, aerodynamics, engines, theory of flight, Morse code.
We'll go through some of these, but how you must have known things like theory of flight.
Well, because
you've done it so long.
I shone in this because I used to pull out my little slide rule. This and that one. What are you doing with the slide rule? I said, well, it's simpler, isn't it? He said, you're jumping off too far ahead. And the others called me a SWAT, you see, so I stuck this thing away. But basically, what's a Dalton computer but a circular slide rule? So I've got a little book there, one of the lessons there, if you want to see it.
And so theory of flight, excellent. What about engineering side of it?
Oh, that side, I walked it. On PE, physical exercise.
Hang on, I will come to PE. What about the other sort of navigation? Had you done any of that?
No, I haven't, but it was logical. Triangular velocities, all this sort of thing. You know, it was all came within my what I knew. So I did pretty well on my ground subjects.
All the ground subjects. You were ahead of the game.
Well, I was level with the game, certainly. And I think ahead on some subjects. I can't remember exactly now. It's 65 years ago.
Now, what about the PT sessions then?
Well, I wasn't an athlete, but I did my best. And one of the things we used to have to do each week, which I loved, was a cross-country run. Off on your own, go and do 10 miles down to wherever, you know, along the coast there in Torquay. Lovely, lovely place to be. And you're running along the seafront coast. I mean, it was delicious. And I can remember one occasion we got buzzed by an FW-190 that had come over on a random hit and run. And I had to duck down behind the seawall whilst he went over and he was shooting at something. Gave a bit of excitement.
So you'd got stamina from your cycling, I presume?
Yeah, that's it.
Not from your sport, but from cycling.
No, I was only, 11 stone in those days. I had long legs from the cycling, so I was able. I wasn't strong in my body. If someone fought with me, they would win, wrestled. But, you know, I had stamina, so I could do
that. What other PT were you doing?
All sorts of I can't remember, you know, this sort of thing.
Oh, well, Swedish exercise
and things. That sort of stuff, yeah.
Now, you've got. What else were you being trained in? Any other subjects?
Armaments, of course.
Shooting,
yeah.
What, rifle shooting?
Rifle, no, machine gun, you know, Browning machine gun.
Now, what did they teach you about Browning?
Well, how it operated, how it worked, how to clear it, and all that sort of thing. Because don't forget, we weren't on a pilot's course, we were on an aircrew course. You didn't know what you were going to be. It was a generic aircrew course.
So, what did you think of the Browning?
It was a machine gun. I didn't really have much experience. The worst thing was when we went on hand grenade throwing. We had to go and throw hand grenades. And the instructor insisted we stood up to see what happened. Of course, when this thing blew up, it was going to take your eyes off. So I used to duck down. I thought it was common sense. But there you go.
And what about signalling, Morse code and that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, we had to do it. Semaphore, Aldous lamps, all that sort of thing, and also with you know, clickety click. I still do it to this day. Da 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 da. That means balls.
You took to morphs then, from the sound of it.
Well, yes, because my brain was pretty agile in those days. I think I was a good secondary school student, and I had the same ability as most secondary school boys in those days.
So, because some people can't do it, but you could. You know, how did they teach you? I mean, were you?
Well, in classrooms. I mean, what they did was they requisitioned classrooms, empty shops, the basement of the bank, all sorts of places all over Torquay, and those were our classrooms for different subjects. We shared them with other IT wings in the town. It was an initial training town. The town was full of white little clashes on our caps, and when we went out, say on a Sunday, which we were free, with my other chum, I had a special chum from Stockport. The pair of us marched in step. We were smart, our white belts and our white flashes, and we tried to be proud of ourselves.
Now, what would you do when you went out? I mean,
chase women, chat up girls, basically, get out for a cup of tea somewhere, walk along the front.
Did you drink?
No, I've never drunk.
You're teetotal?
Totally teetotal. I mean, if it was a social occasion with the lads, I'd have a sip. But I've never really enjoyed beer or anything like that at all. Never been my bit.
So you just go out chasing the girls, basically?
Yeah, we all did. We went to the town hall dances on the Saturday night. And the thing was to get home before, or get back to the unit before... before curfew.
What were the dances?
I got caught one night, I must tell you this story. The great thing about it was we were supposed not to wear, only to wear boots. So we had these, press our trousers, smarten ourselves up, go to the town hall with these great big bloody boots. Now who's going to dance with you if you wore boots? So we all had a pair of civilian shoes, you see, and we put the shoes one down there inside you,
underneath your armpit.
And you just walk along, you see, and no one would know your shoes were there. And you'd hand in your boots in the cloakroom and you'd put your shoes on. And one night, I was dancing with this fascinating girl, and getting later and later, and we made a date for the next week, and I rushed out, and I realised I didn't have time to get my boots on. I rushed out and left my boots behind, that's what happened. I rushed out and left my boots behind. Hurtled back. On the way, I got nabbed by a SP patrol. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. No boots, right? Under arrest. Wash me back. And, of course, what they do is took you to the guard room. Said, right, overnight rest. And he really couldn't care less. They just took you and put you in one of the... It was a sort of a place where they store food downstairs. Locked you in there. And... brought you out, you had to do a little bit of polishing of the grate and whitewashing, then put in again, you got a cup of cocoa, and you were put on charge, and the next morning you had to present yourself, or you were taken in front of one of the disciplinary officers. And during the night, my good friend Johnny Sullivan realised the word spread round from downstairs that I was in deep, deep, you know what. So during the night, there was a rattling on the window of the back of this cupboard. Pev, Pev, what is it? John, open the window. So open the window, and a great big pair of boots tumbled through. Shoes went straight out the window, went back to sleep. Next morning, these boots were much too big for me. Marched in, you know, epi, then a detriment of I accused them. Boot, no boot, no, all right, penalty. I said, sir, shut up, you know, sir, I wasn't wearing shoes. And everybody stopped, you know, the disciplinary sergeant, he hadn't arrested me, he was just carrying out the instructions, he was just a warder, as it were, written down on the charge sheet. And the CO looked at me, you know, I'd interrupted him whilst he was delivering the charge and the sentence, how dare I? And I stood there quivering. And I said, sir, I was not wearing shoes, I was wearing boots, sir. So he looked at me, and he looked at me, this man been, you know, in under arrest all night, or in whatever, I think, I forget the technical word. Yes, sir. But, right, airman, one step backwards, arch. So, backwards one step, smartly. Pull your trousers up. I pulled my trousers up. And there was this gigantic pair of boots on my feet. The officer looked at me and he looked at sir. Has this man been in custody all night long? Sir, yes. Has he been allowed out? No, sir. Has he been up to his room? No, sir. And he looked at me and he looked at me, and the slightest smile. This is right, case dismissed. And I walked out, and then the side, I'm getting in for this, you know. And I got back, and I embraced Johnny Sullivan, and we then had the problem of getting my boots back. But luckily, I knew some of the permanent staff there. I said, look, I gave them a quid or some cigarettes or something. I said, go down the town hall in the cloakroom, there's my boots. And luckily they were there, and he got them for me. But we had two pair of boots, you see, so we were okay.
Now, what were these dances like? Because nothing like that really exists
now. No, the town hall was the centre. And every town hall throughout the country had Saturday night dances. And that was the main social event. It was part of social cohesion. Without them, I think the country would have given up. And everybody went there, but it was really all the servicemen. And the girls had nothing else to do except preen themselves on this Saturday night. And you went there and you danced. And you danced the old-fashioned way.
Now, was it live music?
A
little band? Or
it was a band of some sort.
Big band or...?
No, a service band or some local band.
So just four or five of them?
Yeah, four or five or six. It was great. I mean, you see it on the films today. It was a very lively occasion. And they'd have lights going glittering and switch off the lights and spotlights and little sort of... whatever, you know, competitions, who's the best at this and best at that.
Now, could you dance? Because, you know, or had you had lessons, you know?
No, we just danced in a simple fashion. You held the girl close in 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and you tell her the biggest lies you could think of. I mean, I was as innocent as day as long, really. It was just everybody went there and we all came home together. There was nowhere else to go. That or the pictures.
What was popular at the pictures then for you? I mean, you can see the films on the telly today, but I mean, what was it that you liked to go and see?
Well, you saw what was on, you know, but it was... The American stuff fascinated you. America fascinated me because it was like a golden place, unobtainable. Andy Hardy, I remember. A boy my age had his own car. Girls, you know, lived in Hollywood. Unbelievable.
So
Mickey Rooney was once a week, he was on a series, I think. Judge Hardy, it was called. Boy's got a car.
So that's what. It wasn't sort of the gangster films, it was
they were, of course, were on as well.
But it was the actual different lifestyle you
It was all black and white. It was just a different lifestyle. Most of the films are American.
Now, how were you tested at the end of your time? You were there about 4 months. April, aren't you?
It was very, very intensive testing and training. I mean, what they did was they brought us all up to a common standard. And I forget all the subjects now. Honestly, I can't remember.
But did you actually have exams, or was it just...
Oh, yes, no, you had exams. You had to pass the exams.
And how'd you do?
I passed. I mean, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't have got through. I can't remember whether I was... brilliant or satisfactory or whatever, but I got through.